The moment you've all been waiting for.
You what?
Well, that hit the spot.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Gosscast with myself, Ali Ryan, and Kendra Becker.
We had a little break there.
I know, we had a little break. I was doing my summer exams for college, which I feel like took 7 years.
Like actually 7 years.
You're done. I feel amazing. Actually, I don't know if you saw, I went in for a massage the other day in the Buff Day Spa. And when I was leaving, they gave me like a little voucher. The team had like written me a letter being like, well done on your exams. I was like,
oh, that's so cute.
That's nice. Yeah, it's so cute. I got a very big aromatherapy massage after my exams. They were like, dear God, your back was... I was like, I know, I was literally like huddled over throughout the exams, but I'm glad that they're done. And I even had time off work and everything, so it's been very quiet, but I'm back. Back with bang. How has your 2 weeks been since I've been on study leave?
All good, busy, you know, like craziness as always. But we did an exciting thing yesterday actually, where we were like kind of back on the field filming things again.
Yeah.
That was really fun. I kind of forgot how much I missed that part of
I know. Work. You seemed in such a good mood when you voice noted me yesterday. You were like buzzing, you and Sophie together, I could tell.
Yeah, no, it was actually just so good to be back and just like seeing other people and just like doing things again. It was really fun.
You did some really big celebrity interviews, but they're not coming out till August, right?
Yeah, not till August.
So. I'm excited.
Hush, yeah.
Yeah, celebs, yeah. We're happy to see you.
Yeah, no, it was actually very good.
No, I'm excited for that. It's cool to even be like sending you off places to go, to be like, bye.
Not just in your house.
Things are definitely getting back to normal. Speaking of getting back to normal, we are running competition at the moment on the Gosstalking Instagram. So we're giving away 4 pairs of tickets to go see Cruella in cinema. And I'm just so excited that cinemas are back.
I know. I actually haven't been to the proper cinema yet, but I'm definitely going to go. And it's so exciting to just have them back open again, because I'm like such a cinema lover as well. I know you are as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just like amazing to have things back open again in general.
And obviously, so we're working with Disney at the moment, and Cruella is available on Disney Plus as well. So me and Kendra are like, right, we're going to watch it and we'll talk about it on the podcast. I absolutely loved Cruella, like loved it. And I grew up watching Disney. Like me and my sisters were literally not allowed to watch TV. We were only allowed to watch Disney. So anytime there's a remake or there's a new version, we're always like, But all of us have watched it now, and all of us were like, that is one of the best remakes. It's almost more than a remake. It's like a whole new version of the movie. It definitely wasn't what I expected. It was so much better.
Well, it's because it's a prequel. Like there, it wasn't technically like a remake thing. But yeah, I loved it. Like, I think it's definitely one of my favorite live action Disney movies. And I actually loved Maleficent as well, which is kind of a similar thing. It's kind of a prequel, so it's kind of going into their backstory and stuff.
Yeah.
And I just, yeah, I really liked it. And I kind of love when Disney go a bit dark as well.
Me too. You know? And I thought Emma Stone was so good, because obviously, I mean, it's not really a teaser giving it away or anything like that, but like this kind of split personalities, do you know what I mean, when she becomes Cruella. And she just did it so well, because you get really used to her as the character of Estella, which is like before Cruella, and then when she switches, you're like, oh my god, it just like she did it so well. And the fashion as well in the actual movie is so good. I loved that kind of twist on it. I know that obviously in the original movie that's what Cruella was, like she was a designer, but when you can see it, this backstory and how it all came together, it was just cool. That's like the word I have for it. It's cool.
It was just so good. And like Emma Stone as well, because I remember when she was announced as like the person who would play Cruella, everyone was kind of like, I don't think people kind of got it at the start, but now like she's literally getting like rave reviews. It's like, I think on Rotten Tomatoes, it's like 97% or something. Like,
yeah. And it's quite a long movie as well. Like there's a lot of to it. It's not a typical Disney movie, I don't think. But I love the soundtrack. I love all the actors. I just loved how the story all came together. It was really, because obviously like in Cruella, it's not a typical Disney movie, and there's no real magic, you know, like a lot of Disney movies, it's like magic around it, but it still felt that kind of magic-y buzz. There was something about it that was still really, really Disney. I just thought she was brilliant, and I feel like it's the start of a whole series now. I think there's obviously going to be more Cruella movies.
Yeah, I think there's already talks about another one. But a huge part of why I loved it as well, obviously, like, Emma Stone is amazing, but Emma Thompson is so, so good. So she plays the Baroness in it. And, like, just, it's kind of like, you know, in Devil Wears Prada.
I was just about to say, she's like Meryl Streep in Devil Wears Prada.
Literally. Like, she could have taken on that role. Like, the things that she comes out with, the one-liners, they're just perfect.
It's so good.
She kind of adds the funny element to the movie. And yeah, I loved her character.
I thought it was a good part of the whole story, though, when you realize that, like, the Baroness, like, she's so evil. When you realize that that's, you know, like, Cruella was in, like, in her life, like, met her, was working with her. It's kind of like a good way that Disney do that when they do the backstories, where you realize where, like, the evil comes from. That, like, yeah, people don't just wake up and they're, like, evil.
Yeah. Like,
it's the people they're around. And, like, obviously Cruella kind of admires her in it. But yeah, it was actually a mixture of, like, Devil Wears Prada and a Disney movie. But
yeah, yeah, it actually was. I think that's a good way of describing it. It was so good. And the fashion is, like, amazing. It's definitely going to win awards, I'd say.
Yeah, I think so too. And Emma Stone's actually a producer in it as well, I realized when I was watching the credits at the end. So I was like,
and Glenn Close, who obviously played Cruella de Vil in the
action. Oh, she's a producer of the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. And it's amazing seeing such a female cast as well. I mean, the two lead characters are women in the movie.
Yeah.
Which is rare when you think about it. Like, there's no real male lead in the movie at all.
No, that's actually really interesting. Yeah,
because when you think of the movie, obviously 101 Dalmatians, which I loved. Obviously there was, like, the married couple who had the Dalmatians, and then there was Cruella, who was, like, on her own. So yeah, no, I thought it was interesting the way that was done. God, there's so many fashion moments I'm thinking of that I loved, like, really loved. It felt like as well it would make a really good, like, West End musical or something. Just the production of it was so good.
I'd say it probably will be made into some sort of stage production.
Because
the way the story goes, it does really make sense where it would look amazing.
Yeah,
on the stage.
But yeah, so it's available on Disney Plus, and it's also in cinemas now, right? It's in cinemas right now. So if you're a Disney fan, if you're a Devil Wears Prada fan, we would recommend seeing it. I was excited anyway, but I was pleasantly surprised. It actually was so good. It genuinely was. And then, speaking of more on-screen things before we move on to today's core theme, we have to talk about Keeping Up with the Kardashians. So it's over. Yeah. I mean, I honestly was really emotional at the end when they were kind of going back. You know, there's some times they had little flashbacks of the first couple of years, and, like, Courtney and Scott when they announced their first pregnancy, and Chloe getting married, and all. I was just like, God, they've actually been through so much, and we've, like, been on the journey with them, and the relationship between them and the crew, like, really ran through as well. Like, it was actually quite emotional. Did you watch the final episode?
I did. Oh. And controversial opinion.
Oh.
I was not happy with it.
Why?
It just, like, it didn't get me.
Did it not?
No, not at all. And, like, you know how much I love this show. And you know how
I watched them together. So I feel like that's why it got me. Like, I watched, I think, the last two together. The second last one was actually more sad than the last one, I think. But
I just think that there was, like, I think the whole, like, Courtney and Scott thing, like, you know, the way they were kind of, like, talking about their relationship and stuff, I think that was all literally so forced. I think they were told to have these conversations, so, like, it would be a little thing to give fans.
Although, we'll talk about it in a second, but, like, the Andy Cohen reunion episode, like, I whenever anyone asks Scott, I do think Scott genuinely is still in love with her.
Oh, like, 100%. I just say, like, and I think the reunion episode is gonna be amazing, because I know, like, Andy Cohen, we're obviously Real Housewives fans. Yeah,
he pushes it.
Yeah, so people who don't know about, like, Real Housewives, who don't watch it, Andy Cohen, basically at the end of every season of each Real Housewives series, he hosts reunion episodes with all the cast, and, like, the questions he asks are just so fucking.
He sits them down and puts them in their place.
Like, he really does.
Questions are going to be asked. It's a two-parter. So the first part will be out by the time you guys listen to this. But I feel like it's probably, we're going to get more answers about everything that went on than we ever got in the show. Like, it seems like he pushes quite a lot on Chris Humphries and Kim. But what I wanted to say before we move on to the finale thing, one of the things that really stood to me from the last episodes, and I said this to you before you watched it, that conversation with Chris and Kim, I thought that was actually really like sad. When she was talking about how she's like had all these amazing experiences and like these out of world things in her life, but now she realizes all she wants is the small things. Like that hit me. I was like, that's actually so sad. Like it's very easy to look at all of them and be like, they have yachts, they have jets, they're billionaires, they're on the cover of Forbes. But like her marriage is just falling apart. Like the man she's thought she's gonna spend the rest of her life with is too busy running off making songs and buying houses in random states. Like when you actually break that down, that is actually really sad that she hasn't had someone just to sit there beside her and be with her.
Yeah, no, I do think, and I think that was the most real part of the episode.
Me too. It's the most real I think I've ever seen Kim ever.
Yeah, but she's always kind of given to the show, that kind of stuff. I think Courtney is,
I just felt like the whole season though Kim was like, I don't want to talk on camera, and then in the end she was like, right, okay, here we go.
She was probably just so done with it at that stage. She was,
and then to like fail the baby bar twice, like I really felt for her as well. Like I just, in fact, she did it during when she had COVID the second time. Like I felt really bad for her. But then she was like, look, we'll just keep going. Like I don't know. I feel like I admire her more watching the end of the series. Just the decision. I feel like it was her decision to end things with Kanye. You can kind of see that she had this moment of like clarity.
Yeah.
I just kind of feel like by the end of it, I was like, I actually respect her a lot, and she didn't have to say all these things on camera. I just had a lot of respect for her. And then with Chloe, I was just heavily disappointed. I was like, off she fucking goes to Boston. Like,
I know, it's just like, I just don't see this ending well at all, and it's like really sad to say, but I just don't.
I feel like their baby, if they conceive via surrogate, should be arriving soon. No,
They haven't done it.
They definitely haven't done it at all.
No.
Because that the show was
filmed. They haven't started the process anyway. Well, like, I don't know.
Because the show wrapped a few months ago, like, obviously.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, when he's, like, I'm heading up there to Boston, it's, like, months ago.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I was
wondering. But it was, like, before Christmas.
Yeah.
So it's up now.
Be interesting. We might find out in the reunion, but... Yeah, it's weird that it's over, but like I said to you before, I feel like whatever their new series is going to be, is that on Hulu, right?
Yeah.
I feel like there'll be some bit of their personal lives in that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Tristan and Chloe want their own show. After watching this season, she was the one who didn't want it to end. They're really kind of shoving each other into the cameras. I was just like,
Yeah, doing the confessionals together and stuff, which was the most cringe thing I've ever watched in my life.
So cringe. But I'm so excited for the reunion. I just think Handbag will be flying. Like Andy just gets to the core. He just knows how to like, there's always walk-offs. Like there's always something dramatic that happens in a housewife reunion. I don't know how they got him to do this.
But. You know, I think Chloe's actually a huge Housewives fan. And I think she was just like, I wanted him to do the reunion.
But she seems to be asked the hardest questions, like, how do you know Tristan won't cheat on you again? She's like,
fuck, why did I suggest this?
She's like, because she always just is like, I need to trust Tristan. Like, she's never actually spoken about it on the show. She's never said the words.
Well, except for the Jordan stuff, sure, she fucking threw Jordan to the wolves.
Sorry, that is true. She
like, that was bad.
For Jordan. She's had a good life since, though, you know? She's moved on. She's doing good things. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like Chloe has never fully thrown Tristan to the wolves on the show. She's never been like, he wronged me. She's always just like, I have to learn to trust him again, blah, blah, blah. Whereas she threw Jordan completely to the wolves and they've skipped over that. So I'd be interested to see if Andy brings that up in the reunion. Yeah.
I think he will. Like, I think he's going to go full on.
Imagine he's like, we have a special guest right now and Jordan Woods, like,
oh my god, I would actually pass out.
I pass out with happiness, so I'd be like,
yeah. But like, I definitely think he's gonna bring up the sex tape.
Yeah.
Like they'll obviously talk about Kanye because that's like, we all know about this now.
Yeah. And there's a lot about Chris Humphries, it seems. And then Chris and Caitlin, what their relationship is now like now. So yeah, I'm excited to just hear some home truths. I want to get to, because at the end of the day, they're producers of their own show. Like, you know, they don't really push themselves too far. But yeah. I feel like they're going to be asked direct questions.
Like, I'd like, were you silent or were you silenced moment?
And also when Andy was like to Scott, to Travis and Courtney, have your blessing. And he's like,
I'm looking forward to, I think.
I want Travis to come on. Like, I want special guests.
I want special guests too.
It saddens me that we are never going to see Travis and Courtney on the show. Like, I know they're documenting things on Instagram, but like, that seems like a wild ride. Like, I want to know what's going on there.
I know. Do you think they're gonna last?
I think they could get married.
Mm.
I've started watching interviews that he's done because I'm trying to get to know him. I'm trying to figure out like what that's about. He seems like such a nice guy.
Mm.
Like, he was very troubled and like had serious narcotic addictions. Like, but he's over them. Did you look into him? Basically, his two of his friends died in a plane crash. And when that happened, he gave up everything and he stopped drinking, stopped doing drugs. And he was like, life is too fragile, blah, blah, blah. So I started watching all these interviews and talking about it. It's like his life has changed since this thing happened. And he's like a different guy, but he seems like so nice. Like, he does seem lovely. But then it does concern me that they're like, she's tattooing him. And
it's really like, they're obviously still in the honeymoon period.
Like Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly, like, it's that vibe where I'm like, they're actually mates, aren't they? I just don't see either of them as like, but I don't know. I don't know. I would like to think Courtney would be happy. Like, it's sad when you look at the family, like none of them really have ended up in happy situations. Like, there's divorces, there's splits. I know Kylie is now back with Travis Scott, so maybe that's worked out. But like a lot of them, it's just like things haven't worked out for them. So it would be nice, obviously, for Courtney. And I'd love Kim to meet someone who's just as badass as she is, but like is willing to stay in the same state.
I know. You do feel so bad for when you realize like that kind of stuff. Because when you looked at Kim and Kanye before, you're just like, oh my God, they're this amazing couple. They have everything.
Yeah.
But really, like, that shit doesn't matter.
Everyone used to always be like, oh, find someone who's obsessed with you just as much as Kanye. But when she's talking at the end about how she's had the most extravagant things, but they don't mean the same as the small things, I really felt she was fully talking about Kanye. Because like, think of all the amazing things he's done, like her waking up to like a house full of roses or him renting that stadium to propose. It's like, in the end, what really matters is the person that's just with you. It doesn't matter if you're a billionaire or a celebrity. It was just a real moment of like, God, she's just a real person. Like,
yeah,
she just wants to be sitting at home watching Netflix with someone. Like,
yeah,
don't we all?
Like, yeah, that's actually one of the things she said. She's like, you know, like, I want to be with someone who like likes the same shows that I do. I was like,
you know, when she said that, I was like, God, how much of their relationship was like surface? I don't know. It's weird. Like, they obviously were obsessed with each other, but like, how much in common do they have?
More of a like, I don't know. It was more just, you know, the way he always said, like, you're my muse and stuff. It's like, yeah, I could be your fucking muse, but like, let's watch a bit of telly.
Like, no. Okay, I'll be your muse. Like, are we best friends?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it seems like they're not, because I don't think a best friend would constantly move from state to state if they knew that that didn't make you happy.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the thing I feel about marriages in general, is all about compromise. Good relationships are compromise, meeting people halfway. And I think the reason there's so many splits in Hollywood is that like, people are so self-important. They have like their own careers. They're like traveling. Like, how can you sacrifice something? How can you meet two ways? It seems to be very difficult for celebrities to, I don't know, like make sacrifices for each other because there's so much going on. And in fairness, yeah, she said too, she's like, he should be with someone that wants to go stay to say, like, I'm not going to do that. So she's obviously made a decision like, I'm not doing that. And he's making a decision being like, this is what I want. But it's mad that he's with Ariana now.
Ariana Shayk.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah, Ariana Shayk, I think.
She is gorgeous. But yeah, it's kind of strange timing how it all happened, like how it all came to an end. Like, just as the show ended, Kim and Kanye's marriage has also ended. And like, she's the reason the show began. It's kind of, it's sad, but I'm dying to watch the reunion. Dying to watch it.
Dying. So it's out on Hey You on Friday. The Hey first part.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was in midnight tonight. I'm like, what time can I?
Yeah, what time?
It's going to be tomorrow then, morning, isn't it? It's normally after six something. I'm definitely going to watch it. But today's episode, now that we're finally getting into it, it's going to be a bit of a long one, I would say. We wanted to talk about Goss, we're 7 years old. We turned seven 2 weeks ago. Smack bang in the middle of my exams, which was fun for me. But yeah, so we've 7 years in business. So we just said we'd chat a little bit about what the 7 years have been like. I get asked all the time, like I actually had 3 DMs this week, and it's only Thursday now. People just asking me for advice, like, how did you start up your own business? How did you get the idea? What's your advice? So I said I'd kind of tackle that one in this episode at the start. So I started Goss in 2014 when I was 24. I mean, that actually feels crazy now, 24.
Like thinking of me when I was 24, like actual baby child.
What was I thinking? No, yeah, I remember when I said to someone the other day, I was like, so funny when I set up Goss, because I was like, right, I'll do it now. I have like no mortgage, no kids, no responsibilities. And then I literally took on the biggest responsibility of my life. And it's like being married and having a mortgage and having kids. It's like more stressful than all those things. But yes, obviously I'd worked in newspapers before. I was a showbiz journalist, and then I set up Goss. So I think it's important for people listening to know that like when Goss was set up, there was no showbiz websites like in Ireland. They didn't exist. So we were the first. And I think the number one piece of advice I'd give to everybody who wants to start up is just do your research, know your market, save some cash, because one of the biggest lessons I've learned is that people do not pay on time. And you're always, cash flow is basically the biggest killer for any business. And I learned that firsthand. But I think overall, and like the theme for this episode, I feel has to be that, like, I always say now that like you just have to keep going. Like, you know more than anyone can under the amount of times where things have literally nearly all fallen apart. Maybe a sane person would have been like, right, let's wrap it up. Like, I'm gonna sleep on my beanbag and it'll be grand. Like I said that when we did the 7 year birthday post, whatever, I put that up on Instagram. Like the amount of times I slept in the office because I was so broke. And I remember like I'd say it to my sister or my parents, they'd be like, oh my God, you slept in the office last night. And I'd be like, it's grand. Like they must have thought I was wild. Wild. Like, how's business going? Oh, I'm broke. I slept on the floor last night. Like, okay, great. But like, I just got so used to it though, and I kept being like, no, I'll just keep going. And even we've had 4 offers in total to be bought now, and I remember it was the second or the third, I think it might have been the second one, where the guy that's trying to buy the company said something like, he didn't offer the money that I wanted, and he said something like, oh, but like we'll give you a good salary, like you'll have a nice place to live. And I was like, I would rather sleep in my car and make us a success. Like, I will sleep in my car if I have to, or sleep on the floor if I need. But my point was like, I'm never gonna give up. I'm just gonna keep going. And now it's like we're in year seven. It's been like such a good year. The last 2 years have been really, really good. And like 4 years ago, if you told me that, I'd be like, I don't know. Like, you have to just keep. I kept thinking that the day would come where things would get really good, but things just kept. It's literally like you're on the ground and you just keep getting kicked and kicked, yeah. And like someone throws something at you and then someone stands on you and you're just like, mm-hmm. But I just kept lying there being like, ground. Like, it will sort itself out.
No, like, it's so crazy to think where we've come. Like, so I obviously joined, when did I join? It was like September 2015. So yeah. It'd be like, what, 6 years?
In September.
Yeah. So like to think of like the first office that we had, it was like this tiny room up like 17,000 flights of stairs. Like, it was like you would be having an angina attack by the time you got to the very top.
Always hear someone was about to come in, they'd be like, by the time you got to the top of the stairs, it was like death was upon you. Like, and you'd need like 5 minutes to cool off when you got in as well.
And I was like fresh out of college.
Yeah.
And I just like immediately loved it. Like, I knew that was like what I wanted to do. And I think I was just so invested in the company, like immediately.
Yeah, no, you were.
And like to think the way it is now, 7 years, like it just makes me so proud. Like, because obviously
you're running the whole show. Like, when you think of it, if you compare it to then, if you think about like your first year with the business and now like you're fully in control of all the editorial, like,
yeah, it's insane.
I always tell people, like, when they start, that, like, Kendra was so quiet at the start. Like, I swear to you, I probably could count how many times she spoke, like, for 6 months.
Now I don't stop talking.
Now you don't stop talking. No, but you were just so quiet. So it's, so it's funny for me, too, to think, if we went back to, like, the first few days when you started, if someone had been like, Kendra's going to end up running the whole side, I'd probably be like, no, like, she's so quiet. Like, there's no way. And now, like, it's mad how it's all come together, like, when you think of it that way. But yeah, that was our first office that was so small. And then I remember going to an office opening party. I mean, God, this is like the way the days were before COVID. An office opening party with my then deputy editor, Lisa. And it was around the corner from where we were in our tiny little thing. And it was this gorgeous, like, office with two floors. It was so pink and cute, and it had really high ceilings. And I remember saying to Lisa, we were at that party, and I was like, oh, like, I could literally only dream of, like, having an office here. And I think within 6 months, we were there.
Yeah.
Which is wild. That's definitely my favorite office we've had. Definitely was. Just the size of it and everything. I loved that office. So then we were...
No, actually, you know what happened? I think it was a few months later. We moved into that building, but we were only in one of the rooms.
In the main room.
And then a few months later, the company that were in the big part, they actually moved out, and then we moved into the big part. And I actually remember that day so well, when we were, like, moving all our stuff in. And, like, we just kind of looked at each other. We were like, this is kind of a moment.
This is a moment. I mean, the office that we had all been in became my office on my own. Like, that's how small. Yeah. And the thing that there was one time where there was like six of us, if not, no, five of us maybe in that little room.
Like, we were practically sitting on each other's laps.
It was like we were in a cupboard, and then suddenly we were given the whole house of, like,
yeah, we were like, oh my God. So much space for activities.
There's been so many weird moments like that of, like, God, are we going to make it till next week? And then suddenly a few months later, we're in, like, our dream situation. Like, and that's the thing about business that I've learned, is, like, you just have to keep going. Like, I remember there were so many times at the start, especially, where family and friends would be like, do you really want to keep doing this? Like, you're just, like, you're so broke, and, like, this is so tough, and, like, you never know when the next paycheck's coming, and, like, clients aren't paying on time. And I was like, no, like, I just think this is going to be huge. I just knew. And I think as well that one of the other big moments in general are always the gossies. Like, that's always when me and you are, like, amazing. But the gossies in the Mansion House in 2020, right before COVID hit, that was just, like, a moment as well. That was like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. Like, so many people came. The room was massive. The people we had, like, Brian Dowling, who'd, like, been hosting Big Brother, was, like, in there hosting the gossies. Like, I'd been watching him on TV for years. It's just one of those moments again where I was like, how did we do this?
Like, I know. And, like, I think the thing about it is, so a lot of people, I don't think, realize that we do so much of the stuff by ourselves. It's literally the two of us, like, in the office until 11 p.m., like, doing all this shit, fucking packing goodie bags, like, literally doing it all.
Oh, like, I'm never packing goodie bag again after this year. Honestly, I had paper cuts for days after that. But no, I know, I think, like, it's easy to look at the gossies in particular and think that, like, we've an events coordination team, we've, like, a decorating team, a production team. It's like, no.
It's like, we obviously do have those things, but most of the stuff we have to just do ourselves, because...
Yeah, but we don't have full teams. We've, like, one or two people we bring in to, like, work with, but we don't have a company who's hired for 10 grand to, like, deck out the venue. It's like, me and you are doing the venue. We're making those decisions.
Yeah.
We're writing the scripts. And even this year, like, I actually, even though the gossips this year was so weird because they weren't in a venue with loads of people, it was all online, I also loved the gossips this year. I loved how it was done. I loved being a part of production and doing something that no one else had done. Like, all the other awards got cancelled, or, you know, their dates were changed. Then that was like a whole other experience. That was like working on a TV set. Like,
I actually really loved that. It was stressful at parts, but, like, yeah, it was really cool to just kind of be in that kind of environment. And it was obviously, like, so different.
That's the thing again, where I feel like the same advice I always say to people is, like, just do it, like, just keep going. Because, like, we easily could have been like, right, look, no gossies this year, it's too stressful, we've never done a whole production before. We've never done a live production before where we're linking in 100 people on Zoom. So like, let's just leave it. And I feel like, again, probably a sane person would have said that, but I'm always like, why don't we just do it? I'm always just like, let's do it. And I feel like, Kendra, you over the years, like, we always joke about this. Like, when she first started, I'd be like, I want unicorns to fly through the office tomorrow. And you'd be like, that's obviously not possible. But now I feel like if I said it, you'd be like, okay.
Yeah. No, like, this always happens, like, the amount of things that you've suggested over the years. And I've kind of, like, initially been like, I don't know if that's gonna work, and then been like, actually, you know what?
Fair enough.
Like, you probably will. If Ali Ryan puts her mind to it, it'll happen.
Like, remember one year we nearly had the Gossies in the like warehouse the size of like a mansion.
Like, now in fairness, I was fucking right about that time.
I hear that one. But then the next year you were ballsy enough to suggest the mansion house. You did know that like these things are possible. You started being like, maybe we should go bigger.
But it was more like, so this warehouse, I won't say where it was, but it was like a complete empty shell, as in like there was fucking nothing.
Not a plug to be found.
Not a plug to be seen. And Ali was like, I really think we should do the Gossies here. And I was like, Ali, no.
Like,
I was like, do you understand the amount of stuff that would have to be done to like make that happen? And initially you were like, no, it's gonna happen, blah blah. And I was like, no, it's not.
Like, no. Yeah, in the end. But it didn't happen in the end because of the sponsor we got in the end. But like, I would have done it.
Oh god, yeah, you would have.
But yeah, I know. But it's funny, I'm just really like, the way I think about everything is like, I just think everything is possible. Like, there's nothing you could suggest to me that I'd be like, unless you're like, let's turn Gossip into a male news website starting tomorrow, it might be a bit like,
oh god, imagine.
But that's it, really. There's literally, if you were like, let's jump out of parachutes tomorrow for a Gossip marketing tool, I'd be like, yeah.
Oh like, god, maybe we should do that.
Jump out and have like huge Goss on the actual like parachutes.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would like, now I'm thinking we should do that. Like, this is the problem. These ideas come into my head and I'm like, yeah, let's do it. I think that's what I love about the business. And anytime anyone new starts here, it's one of the first things I say is like, you know, you kind of have free rein here in terms of creativity, like suggest whatever you want. Like, it's not like I'm going to say yes to everything, but like, I'm more open to things than other people. Like, we started going to New York Fashion Week because one of the girls that worked in the sales team really wanted to go to New York Fashion Week. That is literally why we went the first year. So like, I'm just always so open to things like that. And I think that's what's good about being like a young company. And also, like, we're one of the only Irish-owned companies now, which is why, you know what I mean by Irish-owned media companies. So like, the bigger newspapers, magazines, online sites, they're all starting to get bought over. And like, it's kind of cool that we're like fully Irish-owned, fully like female. Like, it is amazing looking back now. Like, sometimes people ask, they're like, what were you thinking? No, more like, what was your plan when you started? And like, I remember never thinking I was going to be in Goss forever. Like, I was like, I'll do this for a while and then I'll like sell it. That was always my plan. I was like, I want to go to Hollywood, do the whole acting thing. I wanted to do all these other things. But I was like, I'll do this for like a year, 2 years, grand. And now I'm like, holy shit, like that did not happen. But I never went into it with the mindset of like, I'm going to be running this on my own as an entrepreneur with no investment. Like, just keep going. I never thought that's what was going to happen. But so many good things have happened because of that. Like, even setting up the Daily Goss, like when we announced that was like 3 years ago, Kendra.
Yeah.
We started the Daily Goss and like going to the Oscars. Again, these are other ideas. It probably would have sounded mad to anybody else. I was like, let's just start going to the Oscars. Let's do the New York Fashion Week thing. What else have we done? Cannes Film Festival. Can't forget the Galway Races.
Remember 2018 year when we literally went all over the country.
All over the world,
yeah.
But that's what I love about it as well. Like, there's obviously highs and lows, but like, it's the highs are being able to decide, I'm going to go to Vegas tomorrow and like film at the Billboard Music Awards. Like, cool, grand. You just go, you take the chance. Whereas I think it's very hard, especially as women in this industry, to do things that you truly want and for your opinions to be listened to by your employer. I think it's very, very tough. And I always wanted Goss to be a place where people could think, like, say whatever they wanted, like, have ideas and, like, suggest things. And I'd never be like, you're too young, or, you know, you're not ready. Like, if I ever said those two words to you, like, I've literally never said that to anybody. No. I'm like, if you think we can do it, like, let's do it. Like, let's make all these mad dreams, like, come true. Like, let's figure it out. That's how I see everything. I think that's why, even though sometimes I can get, like, low sometimes, most of the time it works. If I'm actually always, like, positive, probably, like, stupidly positive, I'll be like, it's fine. Like, it will work out, it's grand. And then it normally does. Like,
yeah,
we were talking about the other day, Jennifer Kendi, we were talking about Firefest.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys have seen it, the Netflix documentary, but my friend Circa, when that aired, she texted me and was like, you really remind me of Billy McFarlane, like the guy who would just, like, jump, like, everything would be falling apart, like the festival was, like, not going ahead. And then he jumps on a plane and he comes back with, like, $10 million. And he's like, grand. And she wasn't saying that I ever came back with $10 million. But she was like, you always find a way to just, like,
make it work.
Going. And, like, that is, I mean, I'm just trying to think, like, sometimes people are like, how have you just kept going 7 years? I feel like that's literally what it's been. Even when things are so bad, like, I know it's been really bad times. My mom would be trying to ring me and I wouldn't even tell you stuff that's going on. I would just be like, be grand. I just feel in my head being like, it's grand. I'll talk to you next week about it when it's solved.
Like, that's one thing that's always amazed me about you over the years, is like, even when there's literally a massive crisis where, like, the room is on fire, like, you're always just, you kind of, like, obviously, like, you've had your freak out moments, but you always remain calm. Like, even say if someone is threatening to sue us or something, like, do you know what I mean? So you're literally just like, it's fine. And, like, the way you deal with things so quickly is just like,
I sound psychotic. I'm like, it's grand.
No, but, like, not even like in a psychotic way. Oh, but it's more just like, just having a level head sometimes.
Yeah.
Even when, like, the world is on fire.
And it's only when so many bad things have happened that it gets there. So I think we said it, if you want to listen to, like, more about how Goss was started, ever, we did an interview on the Gosscast. It's there in Spotify and iTunes, called 5 years of Goss.ie. And I think that's what it's called. And Kendra interviewed me in it. So we were talking about kind of the highs and the lows. And I was telling the story about how I remember we nearly lost a company over the signature that was missing on a company page. Like, it seems like such a crazy story, but, like, that's happened. But you were in Dubai, you were on holidays.
It always happens when I'm on holiday.
And I remember, like, opening this letter, basically being like, if you don't pay, like, £5 24 hours, your company's gone. And we were in the middle of selling it, which was fab. And without the company, there was nothing to sell. That was important. So I remember holding the sheet of paper, and then I rang them, and they basically were like, no, there's nothing we could do. This has to happen by tomorrow at, like, 2 o'clock or something like that, or your business is gone. And I actually do, and, like, you weren't there, but the girls were up in the office, you know, it was the Leeson Street one. So I was in the middle floor where the kitchen is.
Yeah.
And I genuinely, like, fell to the ground. Like I actually, like, bawled my eyes out for, like, 10 seconds only.
No.
It was like 10 seconds. And then I was like,
get up.
I was like, okay, get the fuck back up, like, I need to sort this. I was just immediately like, okay, I can't just lie on the ground for the next day, like, I have to sort this out. You just have to in those moments.
You just have to, yeah.
Whereas now, if I got a letter saying that, I wouldn't cry at all. I'd be like, all right. It's just, you have to go through them at the time to be like, and also, like, I still say this now to friends or people who are looking for advice, but even just my mates are having a tough time at work and stuff going on. I'm always like, and I've said this since the very first day I started Goss, I always ask myself the question, what's the worst thing that can happen? Mm. So me and you sometimes get frustrated when the site crashes because, like, there's a technical issue, right? But even when I do still get buried, that's, like, the one thing I'm still like, but sometimes even when that happens, I do ask myself, like, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? Like, how many people are aware right now the site is down? It's probably not as many as we think.
Yeah.
No, and is it ruining their day that they can't get on? They're not, like, ringing everyone being like, oh my god, did you see Goss is down? Yeah. Like, it's probably this split second thing that's annoyed them a bit to try to launch an article. Then they probably Google that article and they read it somewhere else. But, like, sometimes it's very easy to fall apart on something like that because you're like, oh my god, this is happening and everyone's seeing it. Whereas now I'm just like, What's the worst thing that can happen? Okay, a few people are like, oh, Goss is a bit glitchy. They'll be back tomorrow because the site's so good. They're going to want to read the content again. Yeah. And I think I feel that way at business now too. So if I get a legal letter, which we often do, although now that we've no office, God knows where those legal letters are going.
Where are they going?
No, we do actually have a business address. There's nothing there. But even now, if I get a legal threat or a legal warning, like that, I would never be worried anymore. I'd always be like, whatever.
Right. Yeah. Like, I think that's because, like, we knew we were going to do this podcast stuff. But I was kind of like writing things down about, like, just from over the years and stuff. And one thing that I love, and like, we obviously have such a good working relationship. Like, we're obviously like, I'm your number two kind of thing, but we're also besties. One thing that I've like kind of noted down about the past few years is, it's been so hard at times, and like, we've had such fucking crazy struggles as well, but we've always dealt with things with humor.
That is very true.
Always. Like, you know, like, as the old saying goes, if you don't laugh, you'll cry. And that is literally like our motto, because like, the amount of crazy situations that we've been through, and we'll just be like, right, well, it's like, we'll just make some sort of joke out of it, even though like, it's horrendous. But
one of our saddest moments, like, together, I feel, was the year you couldn't come to the Gossies, and I remember being on the phone to you, and I was like, the Kendra's always on the floor with me on the day, like, helping me figure everything out, and I was like, standing there so overwhelmed, not knowing where anything was going, and I was like, what's the story? And then you were like, I can't come, and we both kind of were like crying on the phone.
We both actually were bawling.
But right. We were like, and you were like, I can't believe I'm actually saying this. And I was like, I can't believe this is happening. And it was like, just like 3 hours before, and literally the dressing was going up in the walls. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like, what the hell? It was just the most surreal moment where you literally couldn't even sit out of bed. You were so sick.
I was so sick. Like, that's actually, because like, talking about our low moments, that's definitely my number one, I think.
Yeah. Also, the worst, that was like the worst Gossies ever. Sorry for anyone who had a great night 2019. Was it 2019?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was because I wasn't there.
There. No, the whole night was just like a blur to me. I just was so upset that you weren't there. I was just a nightmare. I was probably a nightmare that night to everyone. I was just kind of like, yeah, whatever.
Well, it was just, the situation was just so like fucked up. So,
I like, couldn't believe it though. It was just like,
could not believe it. So like, the actual week of, so the Gossies was on the Saturday, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was a Saturday, and on Thursday in work, so we were moving office right beforehand, which was not a good idea, but anyway,
get the actual stress, the
stress. So like, we were having to pack up our whole office, and there was just so much shit everywhere. And it was on the Thursday, and we had finally moved our stuff over. And when we were moving our stuff into our new office, I felt like my body was really sore. And I was like, what the fuck? And I thought I had just pulled something, because we were like carrying stuff. And I thought, I was just like, oh, it's really weird. And I was like, I feel so strange. And I was like sweating like profusely. And I just thought it was like, you know, because we were moving the stuff. And then we all like left to go home or whatever. And I had to go and pick up my outfit for the Gossies. I think it was getting taken in or something like that. And I went to the place. I won't say where it was, but like, I'd say your one was like, what the fuck is up with her? Because I was literally like dripping sweat. I was here to pick up my outfit. And I just felt so weird all the way home.
Kendra, by the way, is a master of hiding sickness. She'll literally be like, hey, and then you'd be like, I have, like, I'm dying.
Like, inside, I'm dying, but like, I'll appear totally normal.
It's fine, yeah.
So I walked home then, I got into my apartment, and I literally, like, the minute I walked in the door, I like collapsed on the floor. Like, it's so crazy. And I literally just had to get into bed, and I was just like sweating in bed, my whole body. It felt like I'd been in a car accident, and my whole body was aching. It was so, so sore. And rang my mom, and she was just like, oh God. She was like, do you want me to come pick you up? And I was like, no, it's fine. And then I think I just like tried to sleep through the night, and like, my, I was sweating so much that my bed was actually like wet. Like, it's not bad. And then it came to like 6 a.m. and I rang my mom, and I was just like, no, like, there's something really wrong here. So my brother came and picked me up, and he brought me to the emergency doctor, like on Harcourt Street or something. Because like I don't have a GP up in Dublin. And I know. And I went in, and the doctor was literally like, I've never seen someone with such a bad fever like in my life. I was like, oh God.
I know, like if this had happened last year, I'd be like, you had COVID. Like that's how bad it was.
Yeah. So then she was like, you need to go to A&E straight away. So I went to Vincent's, had to be put on a drip. And yeah, I basically just had like the flu, like the influenza or whatever.
But I remember you saying on the phone, like, I was going to get up and just even try to put fake tan on. She's in there, but you were like, I can't actually sit up. Like you couldn't get up. You couldn't even stand.
And like, this is how crazy I was being. Like I was in A&E and I was like, I'll still make it. Like, like
I know.
Friday, the day before.
That was the first year that like all your family were meant to come, remember?
Yeah. Oh, like, and like the amount of work we obviously put in like every year, it was just so... heartbreaking. I can't even describe. I know it might sound stupid being like, we're going to make your event, but this is like our life.
It's our wedding once a year, like
literally. And like I remember just lying in bed, and I had to ring you to be like, I'm definitely not going to be able to come. And I remember like I couldn't even speak because I was crying that much. Like,
and then I was crying and someone was like, where are we putting these flowers? I was like, give me a
minute. You're like, shut the fuck up. Excuse
me. Oh, the Gossies. The Gossies are such a big part of the business though. Like there's such a highlight, there's such a stress, there's such like an everything, but without it, there is no Goss. Like I feel like that's why they had to happen this year. I was like, but the Gossies are what we do. Like it represents everything we do and it had to happen. And it's so weird. I think I said on one of the podcasts before, but after the Gossies last year, I kept having this reoccurring dream that like I kept trying to get to the Gossies 2021 and everything I wanted to go. I wouldn't get there on time. I'd get there and there would just be like confetti on the floor and there'd be nobody there. It'd be empty. It was like it was over. And I couldn't understand it. And I kept having the dream. Like it was constantly recurring. And then when COVID happened, I was like, dear God.
That's so weird.
Because that is the way the Gossies was. When you think about when I was on stage, I was completely alone. Like there was nobody there. It was empty.
Yeah.
It was an empty room. And that's how the Gossies went. But like when I used to wake up from that dream, I'd literally be having palpitations. I'd be like, oh my God, imagine if something like that happened. And then it was like COVID. I was like, oh great.
It's so insane.
But it is probably my proudest achievement in terms of Goss is the awards, you know, just how much they're recognized now and people really value the awards and like they take it seriously enough. You know what I mean? They want to win. And like, I feel like we really have created new celebrities and give talent like a place in the industry that maybe they wouldn't have before in terms of like social media stars, like Tyke Fleming winning best social media star this year. Like, you know, where would you have seen Tyke Fleming like nominated for an award previously? Do you know what I mean? Like it's just I love that we create that environment for people. And Ireland's a small place. Like, you know, you make somebody a celebrity, they're a celebrity for life. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Like
I think that's been one of our like biggest struggles over the 7 years. And like 7 years, it's obviously a long time, but it's not a long time for business. Like we're still technically we're a baby.
Yeah.
But I think one of our biggest struggles has been like gaining respect as a publication, maybe from other publications.
Other journals, I would say specifically.
Yeah. Like especially as like two young girls like in their 20s as well, like I think
I absolutely agree.
So many people have underestimated us over the years, which has been frustrating, but I think we've kind of proved ourselves at this point.
And even in terms of brands, like I say this all the time to you, Kendra, that like we would lose a deal to a company that wouldn't even have the same like strength in terms of social following and stuff like that, and but they're this like big company owned by loads of men in suits, and I'm like, is this why we're losing these opportunities? Because we're girls and like we, you know, our website is pink. That's stopping people from like taking us seriously. And the funny thing is, like, I remember when Goss started, one of my biggest concerns was, will we be taken seriously? And we actually were instantly taken seriously in terms of like RT, TV3, celebrities who I would have worked with when I was working in newspapers. we were getting all the same invites. I was actually shocked at how quickly we were accepted.
Yeah.
But then within the industry, it's more like gossip. Do you know what I mean? Like, are people thinking that it's just gossip and, like, you know, I have a proper journalism background. We literally run Goss like a newsroom. Like, it's not a blog. It's not a personal blog. Yeah. I think we actually write much better than a lot of our competitors, to be honest, who would have much more staff than we do. And they would come from news corporations, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, they're backed by a huge corporation. Yeah.
I think our content's actually stronger than that. But, like, a couple of years ago, I wouldn't have talked like that. I'd be like, oh, you know, now I'm like, we're literally at the top of our game. Like, we're literally one of the best in the industry. Like, I know that now. I would never doubt that at all in terms of content, in terms of our audience, in terms of our offering. And as well, like I mentioned earlier, like, we're one of the last standing Irish companies, meaning that we're self-sufficient, and we have built this up after sleeping on floors and nearly losing companies and all this sort of stuff. We're still going, you know, we've gotten through COVID, you know, we're hiring people again, like, we're in a good position, and that is only because of hard work. That is not because daddy lent me 100 grand. It's not because Enterprise Ireland gave us 500,000. Like, none of that has ever happened. Like, all of it has just been us, and that alone is enough to be proud, like, of what we've done, that we've done that by ourselves. We've never had handouts, we've never had help. Like, if anything, we've had the opposite.
we've really had to scrape the barrel.
Scraped our way up. And, like, that's why the Gossies represent so much, because, you know, the first year there was so much doubt about doing them. So many people thought it was a crazy idea, and now I'm like, well, now I'm like, it's the best thing I ever did, like, best thing. And I've seen and heard our competitors trying to figure it out to do the same, and it would just cost them so much money. You know, we have a little rhythm now of how we do it. Still costs lots of money, but, like, we know how to do it, and we have people want to be part of the awards as well, which is, that's why I'm so proud of it. Like, seeing people get dressed up for the Gossies this year, I was actually shocked at how many people got involved. Like, I knew people were going to sign in from Zoom because, like, I mean, people were at home, like, they wanted to do something fun. But I remember before we were going live, the social team were like, look at this, look at that, look at this. It was like, ding, 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 ding. It was just like, everyone was properly dressed up. And I was like, oh my gosh.
I think this is the thing, though, because we've been underestimated for so many years, and we've kind of not been, like, shit on, but, like, do you know what I mean? Like, that, essentially that, we've kind of just always been like, oh, you know, like,
yeah,
kind of not really expecting the best. But then when it happens, we're like, oh, yeah. We're like, yeah. Oh, right, okay. So I think, like, we kind of need to stop underestimating ourselves as well, yeah, sometimes, because it's just, like, obviously been conditioned into our fucking brains.
Yeah. This is the thing, like, I know other journalists have been like the Gossies. Like, it's been said back to me so many times, and I'm like, yeah.
Mm.
Go on. What do you say about it? Like, literally the biggest names in the industry are there every year. Go on. Like, whereas before I would have been like, oh, and now I'm just like, no, what we've achieved is incredible. And again, on our own, with no money and no help. And we're writing the scripts ourselves. It's not like we have a big production team behind us being like, this is how you do this. And this is how. I literally have just been figuring it out as we go. And every year, the two of us just figure it out as we go. And we just do it. It just gets better. Like, this year was such a learning experience. Like,
yeah.
Next year, like, obviously, we don't know what's going to happen with COVID and everything. But, like, I know for sure if things are similar, like, it'll be no hassle doing a production this time. Like, not for a second. I won't be doing the goodie bags, I'll tell you that much. But
our mansion house year, so 2020, like, that was our biggest Gossies to date. Like, it was huge. And, like, even that was such a learning experience. Like, I remember on the actual day, so obviously we had, like, the Pamper Suite, which is separate.
Pamper House that year.
Pamper House.
Mm.
And so I think I got my makeup and hair done at like 11 a.m. and then I went over to the mansion house to kind of just be on the ground doing stuff, and like I was writing scripts, I was like putting goodie bags on chairs, and then like the boards arrived and they kept it was a really windy day, so our boards for the pink carpet like kept falling down. I was trying to figure out how to get them the fuck back up on the phone.
Running around in my Cinderella dress, barely able to fit through the door, trying to figure out what was going on.
Yeah, and like literally just running around, And then like when it all just comes together, and it's always like when we're in the middle of it, because like we always sit beside each other, whatever, and we kind of just look at each other and we're like, this is actually going really well. We're like, oh, this is amazing. So it's just like, I think, and people may kind of be like, Jesus, will they stop fucking harping on about it? But like, the amount of work that we put into this stuff, like we put our blood, sweat, and tears into it. Tears. That's no exaggeration.
Literally all three have definitely been mixed in. Like, it's
definitely, 100%. Yeah.
That's so true. That's the thing. Like, I think it's really easy from the outside looking in to be really judgmental and to be like, who do they think they are and why are they charging this for tickets? And it's like, I would love you to come work here for a day. Like, I'd love you to try run your own business just for 24 hours, then come back to me, you know. I'm always like, but you know, I've gotten used to it now. Like, I actually don't really care anymore when people give out about things. I used to be really affected when people gave out about the gossips. Like, do you remember, like, one of the first years there was like a Twitter storm, like, that was so dramatic. I got so upset, and now I'm just like,
whatevs.
I'm just like, whatever, like, it doesn't matter what people think. All that matters is that when we go to bed at night, that we know, like, we are using our platform for good, that we're good people, that we're working hard, and that is the truth, you know. And I will always know, no matter what happens, that, like, we did our best and we've been doing our best. And, you know, even though there's been times where we needed more traffic, we needed more money, like, we've never sold out a celebrity, we've never dug through someone's rubbish bins, like, you know, we've been good to people. And I think that's why people are good to us, you know. It works both ways. And that's another thing I'm proud of. Like, I'm definitely proud of just the ethics of the site in general and how we've gone down the road of just being sound, basically, to be honest. Like, we never, ever intentionally go out to out anybody. And I remember Laura Whitmore's speech at the Gossies this year just, like, really surprised both of us, because she was really, like, talking about the ethics of the brand and how she really admired what we did and how we used the platform. And I was like, God, it's just hard to look at yourself that way, like, look at the company ourselves. But she really did get me thinking. I was like, God, like, that is true. You know, like, there's not a lot of celebrity news websites you could say are ethically sound. You know,
no, like, it is so true. Like, and that it was actually really nice to hear that, especially from someone who's, like, been, like, around in the business for so long.
And then Nicola Coughlan having an acceptance speech, Tommy Tiernan, like, oh my God, there was just such good people. And everyone I was chatting to this year, they were like, I don't care if you have the Gossies in a barn next year, like, I am going. Everyone is like, when and where, like, we are doing it. So I really hope we get to do it. Try to think of other mad things that have happened. Like, remember we set up that LA office for like 6 months?
Yeah.
Oh my God. And remember we set up a sister website called Goss Girl.
God, yeah, I forgot about that. How long ago was that now?
That was in 2018, 17, that kind of year. And it's, that whole year was wild. 2018 was about a decade of our business.
No, like, it actually was, the amount of fucking things that happened.
And then you remember I went to LA for like 6 weeks and you guys all gave me like going away presents and everything. That was all.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And we had like a team over there and we were gonna, I actually have it up on my wall now, like this article from the Sunday Business Post, like, Irish showbiz site Goss.ie sets its sights on Tinseltown. Like, we literally had an office in LA and had another site called lagoss.com. When you actually go back through the things that I've done, lagoss.com, gossgirl.ie, like,
even doing, like, when we did the Daily Goss, like, I don't know if people realize, but like, we were filming that, like, shoot that, edit it, put it out, like, all, like, within, and like, one person would be doing it. Like, I would be obviously writing stories on the site, then I would have to edit the Daily Goss, like,
someone all would edit it, write the scripts for it.
Yeah,
I know. Like, I do miss that, like, definitely, because I wanted to kind of end it on like what's coming up next, what we want to do. Like, I think we're gonna be back in an office in early 2022. That's like my plan. But like, I would love to finally build like a proper studio, or have a proper studio where we can just nip in and do those things and have it done and have a place for people to come in for interviews, and just have that properly set up where that's just done, where we can do the podcast. I actually saw a neon sign last night that I really want to buy, like a Goss one. And then I was like, Ali, you don't have an office yet. I was like, yes.
But we will.
We will. So I'm like, should I just buy it anyway? But anyway, I definitely want that done. I want like that sorted. We've two new hires coming up, which is exciting. One in particular is very exciting. And we're working with such amazing brands at the moment. Like as we said at the start of the podcast, working with Disney at the moment, which was cool. We just did something with Estee Lauder. We've loads going on with Aperol Spritz. Like we're working with brands that genuinely like I dreamed of working with. Do you know what I mean? Like we're working with such cool brands, such nice people. And the audience just is growing insanely. Like Kendra and the girls, we all do a report every week. They like show me every week what the numbers are, the stats, articles. And like every week the Instagram's just gone up by like 500 new people. Like it's wild. I remember the day that one of the girls brought in, do you remember she made 15K cupcakes because we had hit 15,000?
Oh, yeah. That is so much.
That was when we were living in the cupboard.
And like this is the thing though, like this is all organic. Like, you know, the amount of, you know, places that would literally just be able to buy the followers and stuff like that.
Yeah. But it's just so weird because I remember when she brought in those 15K cupcakes, I was like 15,000. Now we're on like 86,000.
Yeah.
Like that is wild. I can't wait for the day we hit 100. Like I'm like, come on.
Oh, we're throwing a massive party.
Like massive. Probably
is there anything, I actually wanted to ask you this. Is there anything that the pandemic made you like taught you business-wise, like in terms of with Goss?
Mm. Well, definitely letting go of the office was the best decision I made, but it was the most difficult one. Yeah. And I remember when I was making that decision, I was really, really upset. Like I literally cried so much when I was thinking about it. And I was like, I have to just do it. And then when I did it, and obviously we saved money from not having the office, and it was also just a weight off. It did make me realize that sometimes you just have to make decisions for the better of the whole business. Instead of me focusing on the girls are going to have nowhere to go, and like, we're not going to have anywhere for the post to go, and we're not going to have a HQ. Is that going to look bad? All of those things were on my mind. But at the end, that actually isn't what mattered. It's like what benefits the overall company matters. So I think that's taught me quite a lot, that I think remote working can work. I think I said to you before, I think hybrid is probably what we'll do for a while, where you guys will get to be home for a few days. And whereas before, I mean, you would never have suggested that to the girls. We never would have been like, stay home 2 days a week. That has definitely changed as well. And I think just in general, like it's slowed everything down, but for the better. I think it's given you as well, like all of us, just more time to think about what we're doing as a brand and to make bigger overall plans. And like, that's really my job at the end of the day. That's what I should be doing every day, is like, what's the overall plan? Like, where are we going? What could we do better? Instead of just putting out fires all the time. And I still do that anyway, but I think before the pandemic, we were like running from event to event, and then we were running to a meeting, and then we were in the office. There was just so much.
So to take
yeah. Whereas now I wake up, I have my own little routine. I sit down, I'm like, right. And I'm getting more work done than I did.
Yeah.
The pandemic. That's definitely true. But yeah, I think the biggest one, if it was just one lesson, it would be about, well, keep going is, I suppose, the main mantra of this whole episode too. I think when the pandemic hit, remember like the first 2 days we lost like 20 grand in like sales. We lost like so much money. Yeah. And again, I was like, I remember being on the phone to my mom and I was like really upset. And she was like, but every company's going through this right now, it's fine. And I was like, no, but I feel like a failure. It doesn't matter that everyone's going through this. I have to fix this. Like, this is my business. Like, I have to pay everyone. I have to pay the office. Yeah. Like, what are we going to do? But it was just like staying calm and being like, right, what can I do? And then it was just like, get rid of the office. It was just like starting to make all these decisions kind of almost without emotion in them, whereas before I would have been like, oh, but this and that. And now I'm just like, what will keep it going? Like, what is going to make us money? What's going to save us money? And I think that's going to stay with me forever. I think even when this is over, I'm going to be more cold in my decisions. I'm just going to be like, this isn't working, instead of being like, oh, but that looks cute, or like, I think that's a real part of what we do. It's like, no,
just, you know, like cut it off.
And yeah, like entrepreneurs will be like, have that skill.
Yeah, I totally agree with the whole, like, I think before the pandemic, we obviously just didn't even realize it in the moment. We were running around like headless chickens constantly. Like, even so, my mom actually said it to me, because like when I went home for lockdown, I went to my family home. And it was kind of like a few weeks into lockdown. And she was like, Kendra, you're so different now. And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, before, and she was like, you obviously like didn't notice it, but she was like, you know, if you would come home for weekends or anything, she was like, you were just knackered all the time. She was like, you know, you were physically here, but like mentally you were like somewhere else. And like, I was just like, God, like I never really even noticed that. And she was like, you know, like you were hopping from event to event. Anytime I'd like be on the phone to you or something, you would have like several things on. And like me and you have, it's only kind of the past like year or two, we've kind of started thinking about like, oh God, like these events, like do we want to go? And I think that's what the pandemic has probably kind of taught me, is to
pull back,
slow down, and like don't be afraid to miss out on something.
Yeah, totally. I agree. And I think the you really hit the nail on the head there talking about being present and not. That's definitely something I thought about quite a lot this year. Is like the time we were spending with our family and our loved ones outside of work, we weren't really always there because there was things going on. And look, some jobs just like that were just things happening, but we probably were really bad at it. Like,
yeah,
and we'd be around our parents, but be like, yeah, like on our phone, like having to do something. Whereas now I'm like just so grateful to spend time with them that I'm like, when I'm with them, like there's no work. Like, even if something, unless something crazy happened, but like if there's something going on, I'm like, no, it's fine. Like we'll figure it out. Like I'm here right now. I need to be here. And even in terms of my life in general, like I was always flying away or going to events or doing things. Now I'm like, I want to settle here. Like I want to make a life for myself. Like there are things I wasn't thinking about at all really before lockdown. I was kind of just like, what's the next thing? Whereas now I'm just like,
yeah,
it's like slow down.
I'm like, we always put ourselves under so much pressure. Like even like remember sitting in the office and like we would be like, we just want to go home, but we have to go and go to the thing. Like why did we go? We were so wrecked.
I know. When you're in the rat race though of this industry, and it is a rat race, like you do feel the pressure to be at everything and to show your face and to be, you know, meeting your clients and to be getting everything first and all that sort of stuff. And I think the pressure will still be there, but I don't think it's ever going to be the same. Like I don't think we'll feel as bad if we're like, we're just not going to go to that. We just won't go, like, do you know? And it's weird because I think a lot of people are like, God, I can't wait to get back out, and like I've been at home so much. I'm like, I'm kind of okay. Like I like my life now. Like last year obviously I was heavily depressed and I couldn't even touch people, see people, be around anyone, so it's awful. But since I've got the vaccine and stuff like that, I'm not like going out every night. I've literally been doing the same things. I'm still like happy enough to keep the slower pace of just like chilling out, doing what needs to be done. We're neither of us are doing 24 hours sort of days, not that we're doing 24 hour days, but you know what I mean, like the long kind of like I have to do this, I have to do that. We've even said no to events already. When you think about it. But I think we're gonna be more picky and choosy and
just kind of be better at minding ourselves in general.
And I think we're coming out of the pandemic in a really strong position as a media brand. You know, I remember, if I don't know if you remember me saying this, but like when COVID first happened, I remember saying to you guys, I want everyone to remember that we actually put out more content, not less. But I wanted everyone to look back and be like, we kept going the whole time. There was no days off. There was no breaks. There was no, what's going on with Goss? There's not really many articles. I was like, we just need to keep this. We need to keep everyone entertained. And like grew like 40. And we grew like 40% in readers. Remember in March, in 1 month last year. And that hasn't dropped. Like, I just think people kind of trust us more now or something because we've stayed around. You know, we've kept going, we're still posting. I felt like I wanted us to be one of the only consistent things that was still there, because I feel like people were losing their jobs, they were like not seeing their family, they were missing nights out. I was like, I want us to be the same. Like I want us to be the staple thing and an escape. Like, we're not claiming to break political exclusives or saving the world, but like I wanted to be there as this fun escapism thing, and people go on and be like, oh yeah. And even with the podcast and with the chat show, like we've gotten so many messages, people saying that they love listening to it. And even there's been times where me and Kendra have not wanted to do it, like, and have been tired even with this, and we've been like, let's keep doing it, you know. So
yeah,
I hope we'll be remembered for that this year, that we really did try our best. And I think with the Gossies, even the fact that the public got to see it for the first time and our readers got to actually be a part of it, like, I think, like, I can't remember the total views in the end of the YouTube, but the fact that thousands of people saw it at all is mad.
I think it was like 45,000 or something.
Yeah, that's crazy. So yeah, here's to 7 more years. Like, I honestly thought I'd do this for maybe 2 years, and I'm like, here's 7.
No, like, I'm actually just so proud of us. I'm proud of you.
Proud of you too. Proud of you too. Yeah, proud of each other.
Yeah.
And we have can we just say for the record, we have never had one single work fight ever.
Ever. Now, we've definitely probably gotten each other's nerves and been a bit like,
yeah, we've had like snappy sentences maybe, but we've never been like, what the
screaming
fuck?
Round. Never.
Never. Even if we've disagreed, we normally always both come around and go, yeah, action. Yeah. It's not mental.
It's mad. I think
we're successful than like a romantic relationship.
Yeah, I think we both just know how we operate.
Yeah, that's true.
Kind of are just like, right, she'll cool down in a minute.
Yeah,
they'll circle back. Yeah,
it's so funny when you think about it. Like, I definitely don't know any other business that's done as well in terms of that stuff.
No. Yeah,
to leave it there. Hope you guys enjoyed. And like, if you want to hear more about Goth stuff, then definitely, we did a really in-depth interview before. If you want to get into the nitty gritty and hear me cry, that's there. And then watch Cruella if you haven't seen it on Disney Plus. Go to the cinema, enter our competition, and then probably when we're back next week, we'll chat about the reunion episode. At least we'll have one of them out, and we'll delve deep into that.
Live from the red carpet.
The moment you've all been waiting for.
You what?
Well, that hit the spot.